In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Abraham is the foremost and greatest among the holy patriarchs, or fathers of the faith. He endured truly patriarchal trials, which his descendants would have not been able to bear. For instance, Isaac, his only son, is 25 years old, and God had just told Abraham that Isaac would carry the seed of the promise for future generations. Abraham thought all of his trials were behind him. Then the angel of the Lord comes to him. You will take Isaac to the mountain, make an altar, and perform a burnt offering sacrifice. Oh, and by the way, Isaac is to be the burnt offering. Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Out of all the trials we as Christians have been through, none of us have been told by God to sacrifice one of our children. How many of you here would have the faith to obey God's command? Abraham did. He cut down the wood for the altar, assembled three young men and Isaac, and they set out for the mountain. He did as God commanded him to do. He didn't delay. He didn't argue. He didn't act like Adam did in paradise. Abraham didn't listen to his flesh or the temptation. He didn't even discuss this matter with his wife Sarah. When he heard God's command, he just moved forward without any hesitation. This is an extraordinary example and description of perfect obedience. When suddenly and at one and the same time, Abraham thrusts out of sight and does away with everything he used to hold dearest in his life. His home, his wife, and his son who had been so long expected, and upon whom such grand promises had been heaped. Consequently, when we admire the saints of the New Testament promise and read about their fasting and chastening without discernment, for no matter what kind of men they were, if they are compared with Abraham, their saintlessness and virtues become altogether vile and filthy. They do not know what it means to kill the son of promise, the son of whom rested all the hope and strength of the aged father, all of which would perish so unexpectedly in a single moment, along with the life of his son. This sacrifice is truly denying oneself and forsaking everything. Elsewhere we read that some cast aside their gold, silver, and wealth, and others cast aside wife and children and risked their lives because of their confession. But there never was an apostle, a patriarch, or a martyr who could have shown this obedience so unwaveringly. Our faith as Christians is constantly being tested. The serpent, Satan, is whispering in our ears every time we are in the middle of a trial. He is saying, why would God do this to you? If God loves you, why did you lose your job? Why did your spouse cheat on you? Why would he allow your loved one to take their own life? How come you are ill? Why hasn't he cured you if he loves you? If God really loves you and you really are his chosen people, why do all these bad things always happen to you? Sin has a way of making us believe these lies. After all, why is it that we have prayed to God demanding that he fix our problems right now and he hasn't? Because he doesn't answer right away. We start to think the serpent is right. God doesn't love us. If he did love us, none of this would happen to us. After all, I don't deserve this. None of this would happen to us if he did love us. I'm a good person. Satan leads us to believe that because God doesn't answer right away when we want him to. He's not going to do it at all. Or sometimes, when he does answer, it wasn't the way we thought he should have. We sometimes paint God in our image, and we say things like, my God would never do this. We forget that his ways are not our ways. We forget God is God, and we are not, and never will be. when we travel down this dark road of sin and trials, think about the faith of Abraham. We become humble. He could have listened to the serpent and said, "No way God would ask me to kill my son. This has to be the devil tricking me into this." But instead, his faith in God led him through his darkest times. Abraham didn't question the angel of the Lord or God's commandment. He pushed forward knowing that God would provide. He pushed forward to see it through. And when they arrived at the mountainside, Abraham gave the wood pile to his son Isaac and ordered him to carry it up the hillside. This job is normally the donkey's. But he gave this responsibility to his 25-year-old son, who would be the burnt offering. Abraham took the fire and the knife and ordered the men to stay with the donkey. Abraham and Isaac went up the mountain. Isaac, being an obedient son, asked his father, "Where is the lamb to be sacrificed? We have the wood and the fire, but no lamb." Abraham replies, "God will provide." That statement of faith that is so amazing. Even as they travel up the mountain, Abraham, knowing he is about to offer his only son as a burnt offering, he still has faith that God will take care of him. When they get to the spot, they build the altar, and Abraham bound Isaac and laid him on the wood pile and raises his knife to sacrifice his only son. And at that very moment, Abraham was about to kill Isaac. He hears a voice from heaven saying, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hands on that boy or do anything to him. For now I know you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your only son from me." Abraham then lifted his eyes, seeing a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. God gave him a ram to sacrifice instead of his son. Because of Abraham's faith and obedience to God's command, God rewarded Abraham. God showed his grace to Abraham and his mercy for his faithfulness, just like God shows his grace and mercy to his faithful today. When we look closer at this event, we see the foreshadowing of the grace God would show to the entire world thousands of years later when he sent his only son down from heaven to become the ultimate offering for the entire world, for all who believe in him. Can you see the similarities here? Let's take a closer look. We can see how it all points to Christ. Isaac, the innocent son, carried the wood for the burnt offering up the mountain, the very wood he would be sacrificed on. Jesus was ordered to carry his cross out of the city and onto the hillside of Jerusalem, to Golgotha, the place of the skull. Isaac was bound and laid on the altar and was sacrificed by his father and yet remains alive, being replaced with a ram, which Abraham saw behind him entangled in the thicket by his horns. This signifies Christ, the Son of God. He is in all respects like a mortal human being who died on the cross. Yet the divine nature remained alive, and the human nature was sacrificed in its place like the ram with its horns, which was caught in the same thicket behind Abraham. So Christ's human nature came after him in time. When we look at the connection between the sacrifice of Isaac and Jesus, we clearly see that one of these is by far greater than the other. When Abraham sacrificed Isaac, it was a test of Abraham's faith to God. And because Abraham was faithful and obedient to God's command, he was rewarded with the promise that his offspring would multiply as many as the stars in heaven and as the sand of the seashore. But most importantly, from his offspring came the seed, the bloodline of the Messiah, whom God promised would save the world. The new Adam who would follow God's laws perfectly. The new Adam who would become the ultimate offering, whose sacrifice would save the world from sin, death, and the devil. God would offer his only son, Jesus, to be the lamb caught in the thicket. God would sacrifice his only son on the cross like Abraham did with Isaac. God's sacrifice would be so perfect that it would be the last sacrifice he ever commanded or would be needed. As we travel down the road of temptation, our faith will be tested every day. We will stumble from time to time. We may never understand why we are taken down certain roads or why we were caused to suffer certain trials. We may never get the answers from God that we believe so badly were needed. Our faith may never be strong as Abraham's, but we can also be confident that no matter how bad we think things are getting, we will never be tested like Abraham. We could also take comfort in knowing that God will provide for us just like he did for Abraham. As we hear the words spoken in church, the Holy Spirit continues to grow in us and strengthen our faith. Like Abraham, we are God's chosen people. He claimed us as his own when we were baptized with water and word. And because of our baptism, our faith will continue to strengthen us as we get older. But most importantly, God sacrificed his only son on the third day. He rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. We take comfort in knowing that even though we will fall short of Christ's glory, even though we will be taken down long road of temptation and trials, and even though we will have bad things happen to us as our faith is tested every day, and even though the serpent will be whispering in our ears every day until we die, we can take comfort in knowing that because Jesus, we will be forgiven. We will fall short of the glory, but because of Jesus, we can withstand the attack of the devil. Because of Jesus, we will never die, but we will live forever with him in paradise. One day, when we realize this, nothing can ever get us down. Our faith will grow like Abraham's, and one day, we will fully understand, no matter what the world and the devil will throw at us, we will know, like Abraham did, when he walked up that lonely mountain with his only son, Isaac, that God will provide. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds until he comes again in glory. Amen.